If there is one thing the evangelical church understands, indeed the Protestant church since the Protestant Reformation, it is that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. And no more beautiful statement of that can be found in Scripture than the one that the Apostle Paul makes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But then in the very next verse, Paul introduces a problem for us. For he says this, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, Paul puts all of this language together without any kind of consciousness of having created a problem text, which means one thing. Paul did not create a problem text. There's no problem here. We have a problem with the text because in one hand it's talking about faith alone, and on the other hand it's talking about us doing good works and being created for good works, which in our evangelical minds creates a contradiction. We have other verses that do the same thing. In Romans, Paul's great exposition of the gospel, and if any apostle was the apostle of justification by grace through faith alone, it was the apostle Paul. And yet in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, he tells us that in the great day of judgment, the great day of the righteous judgment of God, God, according to Paul, is going to render to each one according to his deeds. Paul goes on to explain, God's going to give eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. On the other hand, those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, they will receive wrath and indignation. As we look deeper in the New Testament, we see some interesting things about the relationship of faith and works. On the one hand, we're told that any kind of a work that does not proceed from genuine faith is a dead work. In Romans 14, verse 23, Paul tells us that whatever is not from faith is sin. It doesn't matter what the work is. It doesn't matter how altruistic it is. If it's not motivated by faith toward the one true God, then it is sin. But then we have in the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 17, this turned around, that whenever we have faith that is not manifested in works, then we have a dead faith. James says, faith without works is dead. And an example he gives of dead faith is the faith of the demons. He says, you say you believe in one God. He says, the demons also believe. In other words, he's saying, look, the demons could take us to school when it comes to theology. They know that there is one true God. They know all of these things. They believe those things. They know them to be true. And yet their faith is not saving faith because they do not embrace, bow to, and trust in the one and true living God. So that's an example of dead faith. So we have this principle that the New Testament teaches us that on the one hand, works without faith are dead works. On the other hand, faith without works is dead faith. So the two are supposed to go together. And we put them all together, what we find is this. Whatever you truly believe, whatever you genuinely believe, will come out your fingertips. It will come out your hands and feet. It will manifest itself in your life. On the other hand, whatever is coming out your fingertips is what you truly believe. You get that connection? Whatever you truly believe is going to come out your hands and feet. On the other hand, whatever is coming out your hands and feet is what you truly believe. Another way of saying it is this. We are saved by faith alone, but we are not saved by faith that is alone. For faith that is alone, faith that's just in your head, is not living faith. That is dead faith. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul put it this way. He says, in Christ Jesus, what really matters is faith working through love. In other words, Paul is saying that genuine faith is never static. Genuine faith is always active. Genuine faith always manifests itself. It always comes out your tongue, it comes out your hand and your feet. And genuine faith works through love. It manifests itself through love. Here is another saying to help you understand how these things go together. It is never salvation by works to love back the one who first loved you and gave himself for you. It is never salvation by works to love back the one who first loved you and gave himself for you. Think about it this way. God often analogizes our relationship, our covenant and spiritual relationship to him in Scripture, to the relationship of a husband to a wife. Christ being our divine husband, we being collectively as the church, the bride of Christ. A bride who loves her husband and looks for ways to show it and sometimes has to fight hard to overcome her own selfish impulses is not a bride who is trying to earn her marriage. Think about it that way. Take a bride. She loves her husband. She looks for ways to show her love to her husband. And sometimes she has to work hard to overcome her own selfish impulses. Is that a bride trying to earn her marriage? No. That is a bride who is thankful for her marriage. And it is never salvation by works to love back the one who first loved you. And so we see beautifully illustrated for us in the true account of the two insurrectionists who were tried on the either side of Jesus, the word thief in the Bible, the thief on the cross. Thief is a little bit misleading. We get the picture of somebody who was breaking into homes and stealing stuff. That's not what they were. They were brigands. They were insurrectionists. They may well have been associates of Barabbas, who was basically leading an insurrection against Rome, leading an insurrection amongst the Jews. So these may well have been two of his associates, and now they're being put to death for insurrection against Rome. And we know that initially both of these two insurrectionists were heaping scorn on Jesus based on his claims that he was the Son of God, and here he is being crucified on a Roman spit right next to two insurrectionists. But we know that over time that God did a work in the heart of one of those insurrectionists. And he changed. He changed his outlook. God created faith within him. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that insurrectionist did not have much time or opportunity to manifest that faith. He's hanging on a cross. He's got a few hours to live. In just a few hours, the soldiers are going to come and break their legs and so forth so that they will die very quickly. So what opportunity does he really have to show forth a living faith? Well, not much, but the opportunity he had, he took. It came out his mouth. It came out in his life. He couldn't do much, but what he could do is call out to the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, to cry out to Jesus. He said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he did this publicly. He cried out to Jesus publicly. The other thing that he could do is to rebuke his friend who is continuing to heap scorn on Jesus and say, you know, we deserve to be here. We're getting what we deserve, but this man has done nothing to deserve this. And that all folded into his faith. So you see that even in that short of a time span, and with those constrictions, this insurrectionist had no opportunity to go to Sunday school or to Bible study or come to church and learn about faith and works. What he did understand was that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he couldn't help himself. It was going to come out one way or the other. Was he trying to earn his salvation when he confessed Christ, when he rebuked his friends? No, he was not. He's simply responding in faith. And that's what we are called to do. And that is never salvation by works. Amen.